Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prison advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We have on with us tonight an advocate who is working with Stephen Bobo, who would not be able to be on the show today for medical reasons. We are going to be speaking with Danielle instead, and we are going to be talking about some of the things that they are doing on behalf of the prevention of school-to-prison pipeline and at-risk youth in the communities. Stephen has been a strong advocate since coming out of prison himself. Stephen was a correction officer. He was in prison for a drug-related issue. He came out a few years later, and he became an advocate for the youth in the prevention of school-to-prison pipeline. So we have on with us today Danielle, and she will speak more about the work that they've been doing. And Danielle, are you on with us? Danielle? Danielle, are you
Hi,
on with us?
Hi, how are you?
Good,
yes,
how are
here
you?
I am.
I am
I'm
so
doing great.
Honored
How
to
are
have you?
You
on with us. We're doing fine.
It's a pleasure.
Danielle, do you want to speak a little bit about yourself and your involvement with the prevention for school to prison pipeline?
Sure. I teach children with special needs in an inner city school. I've worked with special needs and children. I've worked with special needs adults for some time, and I switched over to working with children in inner-city schools. My role in the school-to-prison pipeline is I'm vice president, and I work with Mr. Bobo, and we do a lot of speaking here in Columbus. We talk to people individually. I mean, we've never met a stranger. If we see an issue, we speak on it. I just went with him when he spoke at the Capitol building here in Columbus, at the state Capitol. We talk a lot to kids directly. We talk to teenagers. My expertise is elementary school and children with special needs.
Oh, okay. And you say you've worked with
how
the elderly
they end up in the
as well?
I'm sorry?
So how long have you been an advocate now? And you say you also worked with the adult special needs?
Yes. I've been an advocate. I've been an advocate for with the pipeline about as long as Mr. Bobo, but as long as the organization has been up. So that's been about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Oh, okay.
But I've
okay.
always been one to look out for somebody, for those that can't look out for themselves and try and do the right thing.
Now, Danielle, tell me, what are your thoughts on the prisons itself and how they affect people, especially young people when they go in? We have a penal system and a mass incarceration in the United States, and there were so many that went in as adolescents, and now in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s, and there's so many that are seriously sick. They've spoken a lot about the possibility of releasing some of these prisoners who are over the age of 50 and who are, you know, having medical problems and everything. These are prisoners, a lot of them that went in when they were young, you know, under the age of 25. And what are your thoughts on some of those issues?
You know, I believe that a lot of the back and really now, I believe that young people end up in this penal system out of fear and straight. I mean, just I'm not even gonna mix words. Out of straight railroading, you tell these young people a lot of times, well, tell us what you want to hear and you can go home. And so sometimes they end up admitting more culpability than they actually had in something in order to get locked up. And then they end up being locked up for years on end and nobody listening to them when they're trying to recant what they said, when in actuality what they're saying now is the truth and they were bullied into admitting to or taking the full rap for things. I believe that young people don't belong in an adult penal system. The average brain does not even fully develop until 25. So
exactly.
How are you going to try how are you going to try somebody who's 15, 16 as an adult when they don't even fully realize what they've done? Also, I believe that especially in these days, the media and music industry has put in our young people's mind that there's some kind of status symbol to have a record. That being said, though, we have the absence of parents to say, hey, you know, the TV might say this and it might look good, but, you know, I believe that it's just a mass miscommunication all the way around, and our kids are the ones getting caught in the middle. As far as people being released in their 50s when they've been locked up since they were 16, 17 years old, I believe without counseling and without some sort of re-entry programs or even a re-entry mentor program, I believe it's a recipe for recidivism. Think about if you went in 1983, okay? Let's just say you went in 1983 and you came out in 2020. Think about all the things that you've missed. You wouldn't know how to operate a cell phone. You wouldn't know how to bank online. You wouldn't know how to do so many things. And then and society has changed. Society in itself, attitudes have changed. These people would just be lost. They'd just be lost. And so I believe that there needs to be some sort of reentry program, and even – like I said, I work with special needs, and it helps. I found that helping them is called peer mentoring. So if we had something where people like Mr. Bobo or people like other successful people that have been able to reenter society successfully would take somebody under their wing and show them how to survive out here in society in 2019, 2020. I believe that it would keep reentry into prison.
I have the problem
I believe
with
that
word, too.
Would slow that down. I know. But I believe it would slow that down. I believe it also would help battle the depression and anxiety that a lot of reentering persons feel. And I don't want to say inmates or convicts because that's such a negative connotation, because it takes away their humanity. So I would prefer to say persons or men and women or just citizens. Them coming back in, they need a hand. I'm not saying like a hand out. I'm saying a hand up. Somebody to hold out their hand and say, okay, look, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. I mean, think about you and me, we will order a pizza online in a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sit at the computer, tap, 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 and here comes our pepperoni pizza. Somebody that's been locked up for the past 20 years would not even know that they can do that, or how to, for that matter. So I think peer mentoring would help citizens reentering society a lot, whether they be sick or not. You know, especially if they are sick, because if you notice, like I know here in Columbus, we have where you can access your records and make your appointments and check your lab results and everything online or through your phone. If these people are, you know, if they're being released because they're ailing and they don't know how to do that and they don't have transportation to get to a doctor, then you're kind of resentencing them.
You know, you're right about that. And, you know, one of the things is I just feel I have to bring up, there was a prisoner years ago. He was in Marion in Illinois prison. And when he came out, he had the hardest time leaving his room. He had a computer. He spent all his time in his room. His wife said she would go to work and come home at the end of the day. He'd still be in the room with the computer because he was so used to being in that cage that when he came out, he had a hard time leaving the room. And this is what's happening so much. And people do not realize these people have been in prison for so long. They come out feeling like they're lost puppies. You know, they don't know which way to – they don't know how to be – go out in the community. And yet
– and they're afraid.
This is it. And we have so many people that are out there that have the ability to free these men that, you know, and women in these prison, the penal system that have been in since their youth. And they still will not release them because a lot of these politicians, whoever is out there with that capability of releasing these people, are so much worried about what other people are going to say. We know families have been affected by crime. But we also cry for a lot of those families that have been affected. But when you have people in the prisons that you know, and you just mentioned special needs, Danielle, and that's we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions. And maybe you can speak more on that as well.
Certainly. You know, there is an epidemic of depression and anxiety. And you know, the world that we live in is a scary place, and there, you know, suicide rates are high, and just like I said, anxiety and depression, and there is a limited amount of resources now for them. You know, mental health has been cut so much that a lot of our neighbors and friends and family and they don't have a place to go to get the help that they need. And so a lot of people who are suffering from mental illness, of course, you know when people are suffering from mental illness, they don't make the wisest choices. And so those choices end them up in prison, and then they go into prison, and they still don't get the help that they need. And then they get released, and so what little bit of roots and reality that they did have is now gone, and they still don't have the help that they need. And I believe it's just it's a tiger trap, you know, where they fall in and there's no way to get out. And I believe that these politicians, they're so busy looking at their polls, and they play the fear game by scaring those of us who are quote unquote normal, and how many of us really are, that, you know, out there really scaring these people into saying, oh, these people need to be locked away because they're X, Y, and Z, oh, they're crazy. I hate that word crazy for the simple fact that, again, it dehumanizes people. And who is to say that somebody suffering from depression might just not need 6 months of therapy, of talk therapy along with medication, and they can be back to themselves? But to let it fester and to let it metastasize, it's basically you're setting people up for failure. And unfortunately, in minority communities, it's already difficult for minorities, you know, and I'll speak for myself being black, in the black community, depression and anxiety and all of that is not accepted. You know, you're expected to pray it away, or you're just being dramatic, or you're this or you're that, instead of saying, hey, let's try and find you some help. And I think that, you know, if you notice, a lot of minorities, I mean, we all know that the majority of people that are incarcerated are minorities. Now, how many of them are suffering from some sort of mental illness? And furthermore than that, I'm actually in the process of researching how many of them spent time in special ed who have below average IQs, not by any fault of their own.
And you know what? It's not just them. There's educated people. And I'll tell you, I started New Vision Organization years ago, and I started this Blog Talk radio show because I am myself, I have a loved one inside, and he was seriously depressed 25 years ago, and he was in college. He was in his last year of a four-year college. He was never involved with drugs or alcohol. He was never involved with the law. So he went into depression, and you just said it earlier. You said when someone is depressed, you want to repeat that?
When someone's depressed or anxious or you know, or any form of mental illness, they don't make the best choices.
There you go. And also, when someone is depressed, they can go either way. They can go suicide or homicide. And I used to go to work as a social worker and tell my colleagues I was worried that I was going to go home and find my child hanging, that he was going to commit suicide. Unfortunately, it turned out the other way. One shot at a time when he was serious. But he also had opened up about something that happened to him as a child by an in-law. And this is why I'm saying some of them may not have had, they may have been in special ed. They may have had an IEP or an ISP, you know, but there are some that have lost it through depression for other reasons. And these are serious, as you say, these are serious issues that need to be addressed. And they can't keep doing them in prison.
No. And I mean, did you know that one of the symptoms of depression, I know that you probably know, but I hope your listeners understand that one of the symptoms of depression is anger. It's not just sitting in the corner in the dark crying and eating Haagen-Dazs. It's one of those symptoms of depression is anger. I know I found that out when my mother used to work for the post office. You see where I'm going here? my mother used to work for the post office. She worked for the post office like almost 35 years. And she was getting to that point where she was angry, and she didn't even know why she was angry. She'd have suicidal feelings one day and homicidal feelings the next day, and she didn't know what she was doing. When she finally did get some help, she found out that one of her symptoms of depression was anger. You know, sometimes you know how you ever just feel bad and you don't even know why? That was something she was going through, and unfortunately, many people go through this, and it's untreated, and so it takes that one thing, and they make that fateful decision, and like you said, it's one way or the other. They either go homicide or suicide.
Exactly, and there was a girl last year, a couple of years ago, that she had a so-called best friend that she talked into committing suicide. Do you remember that on the news? She ended up in prison now. Well, I know for a fact that there are other women like that, and probably men like that too. But there are other women like that will try to see their friend or their ex-boyfriend or their boyfriend do something like that. But what they don't realize is sometimes it backfires, and rather than the person committing suicide themselves, they'll end up committing homicide. And sometimes it's with the wrong person because they're so blinded by their depression or by whatever it might be. But we need to look at a lot of the lies and deception that are going on with a lot of these individuals too, whether it be male or female. There are a lot of people out there that are lying to their mates, lying to their boyfriends, lying to their husbands and wives. And this is what happens. Sometimes it backfires.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
Mental, psychological
you would be surprised
issues.
How early that starts, though. You would be surprised how early it starts. I work in elementary school, and I've seen this start as early as third grade.
Wow.
I've heard the talk starting as early as third grade. And you can tell it's a marked difference between, say, your kindergartens and first graders that jump off the bus and they're ready for action. And then you can tell almost to the point those third graders get off the third, fourth, and fifth graders get off the bus, and they have a whole different posture. They have a whole different attitude. I've heard I've heard fourth grade girls, which you still think are supposed to have ribbons on and be just still silly and giggly and everything, but no. I actually heard the conversation in the girls' room. I wish she'd just go kill herself. She's no good to anybody. This is fourth grade. That language starts, you would think when you hear that language, you think junior high, high school. No, this stuff is happening in elementary school.
Now, does that happen? Is that what causes bullying?
It does. It really falls into bullying. And what happens with the bullying is your bullies are the ones that feel powerless. So because they can't feel any kind of power in their lives, they're going to exert what power that they think they have on their peers, because they don't have to try and take on an adult. If you think about it, a little 8, 9, 10-year-old, they can't take on an adult, right? But they can take on their peers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's where that bullying starts, is that feeling of power, that feeling I need control somewhere. And so they decide to exert that bullying. Like my son just today, my son's in kindergarten. My son just today had an incident with bullying. He, there's a little boy that always tries the new kid in class. And my son's in kindergarten. This kid's a second grader.
Mm-mm.
And he pushed my son down to where he hit his head. Because my son refused to follow his bad example.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
These
things start early. And this is what
exactly.
Mr. Bobo and I try and do. We try to stop it as early as we can. Just like you try and catch a cancer early, we're trying to catch this early. We're trying to get these kids to think that you don't have to follow. You don't have to follow. If you need help, ask for it. If you're suffering some kind of way, let somebody know. You don't have to follow the bad example, because the bad example is going to end you one of two places, the grave or a cell.
And sometimes it can happen in the home. They don't want to talk to an adult because they're having the problem from an adult, maybe in the home. Or maybe, like you say,
exactly.
The streets or whatever's going on in the environment.
Right. You have home, you have school, you have after school, but then there's after school. And I call after school that time on the bus, that walk home, that time at basketball, football practice, that kind of intermittent time between school and home. Like, how many times have we heard about children being molested at practice?
Exactly.
How many times have you heard about a kid disappearing between the bus stop and the house? It's that after school time. That's when the gangs are going to catch them. That's where the drug dealers are going to catch them. That's when the pedophiles and things are going to catch them. When they're in that area between the, and I use the term loosely, between the protection of school and the protection of home.
That's exactly true.
And this is when our kids are on their own, and this is when you have to get them to think for themselves and be strong for themselves and save themselves, because they're not going to be under our care 24/7. And it kills me. It's like that little 15 minutes. You never know what that little 15 minutes is going to affect a kid. You know, that anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour and a half, you never know what that's going to do. And so we need to build our kids up. You know, and Mr. Bobo worked so hard to, you know, this is his passion, to work this hard to get these kids to think on their own, to make their own decisions. You don't have to follow. Because you know what? You can either, you're going to follow them in the street, and you're going to be following them right behind them on the chain gang. And I think our kids. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I these are the things that I preach, that he preaches, our president Shante Hudlin, that Christy Wilson, this is all our passion, is to get these kids to think on their own, so that they will make the decisions that will keep them out of the already crowded, already stacked against them, already ganged up against them penal system. The penal system is doing nothing but warehousing souls. That's it. It's just, it's not rehabilitating anybody. It's not trying to help anybody. It's just warehousing people and using them as mules to make other people rich. And doesn't that sound like something that happened about 400 years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I mean,
well, you
know,
we're seeing it in society as well. We're seeing the public out there being, they're furious when there's even mention about releasing prisoners. And this is where we need leadership, true leadership. We don't need followers in leadership. We need leaders in leadership.
Exactly.
And I see
exactly.
So many people in leadership positions that are not thinking on their own. They're not thinking using their own power, their own mind. They're following what the majority, you know, it's about foolishness. It really is. It's crazy.
It's a mob mentality.
It's
a mob mentality. And just like when we watched the old Frankenstein movies and you had the angry mob, nobody was thinking on their own. They're just going with everybody else. They're going along to get along. And the thing about it is when you go along to get along, nobody's getting along.
And
the difference, right, exactly. There, and the only difference between our incarcerated persons now and the politicians right now is that our incarcerated people got caught. That's it. And they didn't have a rich defense lawyer to get them off. Because some of these politicians out here, they're just as dirty, if not dirtier, than the inmates in there. So releasing
exactly.
them for serving their time should not cause anybody panic, but reelecting these corrupt politicians and letting them loose to decide our fate, we are tying our own nooses.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
You know, they keep telling us to vote. We need to vote. We need to vote. Yes, but don't vote just because you're Democratic. Look at the issues. We've all been taught to read. Read. Read the issues. Read the things that they're standing for. And make them responsible for what they say they're going to do. So often we think that we vote them into office, our job is done. No, our job is just beginning. When these politicians make these promises, it is our job as their constituents to make them follow what they said they're going to do. Call their bluff. And when you find out they're bluffing, call them on that too. Because the one thing I've noticed about politicians is they don't like to be embarrassed.
One thing I notice about the people in this country, they forget who the government really is. And with all the negative things going on now, we have politicians, we have a president, we have all these people in leadership acting like children. And, you know, they don't have
yeah.
any sense at all. The people need to take back their government. You know, it's the people are
mm-hmm.
the government, and we as a people in this country need to take back the leadership. Danielle, I wanted to ask you, what is your last name?
It's Andrews.
Okay, I would love, and I know that Stephen will probably be on with us next Friday, but I would love to have you back on the show because I really believe, and you can come on with them, but I really believe that you have a lot to offer in the work that you're doing, and you have a lot of insight into the problems in this country and with these youth, and I'd love to have you back on with us.
I would love that. Thank you very much.
Really, I think that, okay, I just wanted to put that down, and that's Danielle Andrews. We're running out of time right now, Danielle, so is there anything you would like to say to the audience before we close?
I just want to thank everybody and just keep fighting a good fight. And don't forget that doing the right thing might not be popular, but it's the right thing to do. And just keep our kids in mind. Keep our kids in mind. Teach them to lead, not to follow.
Great. I want to thank you so much for being with us. It was a very interesting interview, and I thank you for being on. I feel honored to have you on with us. And I hope that maybe next Friday when we do the interview of Stevens on, if you would also come on with them.
Oh,
would be great.
I would love that. I'll talk to Mr. Bobo about that.
Okay, great. Thank you once again, Danielle. We really appreciate having you on, and I look forward to talking with you again on the show. You take care.
All righty. Thank you.
We are now signing off, everyone, and I thank you all for being on with us and listening in, and I hope you'll join us next Friday, same time, 6:30, and that will be on the, should be on the 11th. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Anne.